The Al-Anon Family Groups is a fellowship of young people whose lives have been affected by alcohol in a family member or close friend. We help each other by sharing our experiences, strength, and hope. We believe alcoholism is a family disease because it affects all members emotionally and sometimes physically. Although we cannot change or control our parents, we can detach from their problems while continuing to love them. We do not discuss religion or become involved with any outside organizations. Our sole topic is the solution of our problems. We are always careful to protect each other's anonymity as well as that of the alcoholic. By applying the 12 steps of AA to ourselves, we begin to grow mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We will always be grateful for Al Team for giving us a wonderful and healthy program to live by and enjoy. And now Brian will say the steps.
Hi, my name is Brian. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for His knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Okay, now I'd like to introduce you to someone I knew before I started Al Team, but didn't really get to know how special she was until I started going. Now she's really like a little sister to me. I think she has something worthwhile to say, so please listen. And here's Marquita.
My name's Marquita, and I'm the daughter of an alcoholic. Well, this is kind of a last-minute thing. I just made all this up, so. I'd like to open with a little thought that I have in one of my books full of poems. And it says, when you can accept yourself for what you are, that's when you start to be. A lot of people have problems with that, and I had problems with that. But in order to get around to it, I have to start all the way back at the beginning. My father didn't start drinking alcoholically until shortly after I was born. So, well, guess whose fault it was? I was always daddy's little girl. I was always by his side and by his knees. And part of that was because I felt guilty because he didn't start drinking until I was born. Now I'm daddy's little girl and it's not because I feel guilty. I would do anything to cover up for my father. I would lie. I mean, just anything. And my mother wouldn't believe anything I told her because of all the lies I told for my father. And it got to the point where me and my mother actually hated each other. I mean, we didn't get along at all. I stood up for my dad regardless of the consequences. I didn't realize that the drinking was really a problem until I was about 7 years old. And my mom and dad got into an argument, and I'll never forget this day. They got into an argument, and my mom went upstairs and packed my dad's bags and told him to leave. Well, I started crying, and then it was, look what you did to your daughter. And dad took his bags, put them in his van, drove around the block, and came home. My mother's main weapon against me for, I guess, taking up for Dad, for being on Dad's side all the time, was grounding me. I was grounded about every week. I'd get ungrounded, and then something would happen, and I'd be grounded again. When I was 10 years old, we moved from Maryland to West Virginia. and took the big geographical move. Maybe Dad'll stop drinking if we move. Well, it didn't happen that way. I think it got worse once we did move. When we first moved down here, we had to live with my aunt. 5 people living out of 1 bedroom, 1 chest of drawers. It's kind of hard. It's funny how my aunt never really realized that my dad drank until after we moved out. He's so good at covering it up. When we moved into our house, I mean, everything was fine for a little while. I mean, because there was so much work to do and stuff. About a year or so later, my dad broke his leg. He broke his knee, and he was put into a cast from his ankle to his thigh. And I thought, well, I'm going to start getting along with Mom now, and I'm just going to see how far I can get with Daddy. And so I thought, since he's in a cast, I can do whatever I want to. And there's no way he can catch me. I found out different, the hard way. I was upstairs washing dishes one evening, and my dad was downstairs, and he was in his usual state at that time, you know, passed out in the chair. And he woke up, and he yelled at me or something, and I got mad. And I told him that I hated him, that I'd just soon disown him. I thought, well, I'm safe. I'm upstairs. He's downstairs. I never saw a man run up the steps so fast with a cast on his leg before in my life. I locked myself in my bedroom. I got my little sister in there, too. The door didn't stop me. He knocked the door down, but my father never hit me. He just pointed his finger. I had so much fear inside of me. I was afraid of my father. I was afraid of my mother. I didn't know what to do. My mother and I had this tendency to argue. Like, she'd call me a few names, and then, well, I'd really start it, and then she'd call me a name. And then I'd say, well, I hate to say what you are, and she'd go, well, go ahead and say it. And I'd say, well, there's nothing bad enough yet, and then I'd get grounded. I hadn't made it up yet. So I spent a lot of time at home. This week has been our 3rd anniversary in the program. So I was a really sick little kid. I thought I was perfect and everybody else was wrong. And I was one of these people pleasers. I remember one day in 5th grade, all the girls in my class thought that I was prissy because I would try to, you know, make them accept me because I didn't feel like I was acceptable because of the home I came from. They passed a petition around the room, and everybody signed it if they thought I was prissy. That hit home. I mean, that hurt. That hurt bad. And the reason it really hurt the worst is because my best friend started it. She wasn't my best friend anymore. After that, I decided, well, that attitude's not going to please them, so I made up a new attitude to please them. I would do anything to please somebody except my parents. And, well, my dad went into a treatment center on August 5th, 1977. He hasn't had a drink since, but it hasn't been peachy keen. We had to go to family counseling the last week that he was in treatment. And that wasn't easy either, because they played this little, what they called, game. And everybody got to write down one thing that they liked about every person in the family and one thing that they disliked about every person in the family. I couldn't think of anything I disliked about anybody except maybe my mom, and I was too shy to write it down. So we went in there, and all my remarks were real sweet and everything. And then they got around to talking about me. And I realized then that I wasn't perfect, that I was a selfish brat, everything had to go my way or else. And it showed me that Dad wasn't the only one who was sick. I was sick too. I went down to the family counseling thinking, well, I'll do anything to help my daddy. But I got more help for myself than I did for my dad. I started Alateen 3 years ago today. It was on my brother's 16th birthday. 4 days after Dad went into treatment, I couldn't wait to go. Mark had to be dragged in. I got there, and I kind of felt like I was getting the 3rd degree. because, I mean, the kids in our group, they were just, you know, they were friendly and they cared about you, so they wanted to find out. And I felt like I got the third degree. I didn't want to go back the next week, but my brother did, so I went back with him. I'm grateful that I did, because without Alateen, I mean, I don't know where I'd be right now. Probably pretty miserable. I learned through Alateen, like, my biggest thing was step number one. Admit it, we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. It showed me that I had no reason to feel guilty for Dad drinking, that just because I was the second child born and that he started drinking shortly after that didn't mean that I was the reason that he drank. So that made me feel a little better. But I had trouble with my program. Like, I started Little Miss Alateen, everything was perfect. I mean, everything I did came straight out of that Alateen book. I mean, nothing was my own, it was all Alateen book. So that went straight downhill, because I found that it didn't work that way, that it can't be like that. So I stopped going to Alateen for a while. It wasn't really, you know, for long times. I'd just make up excuses not to go, like, oh, I want to go out tonight, or, you know, there's a dance down at the school tonight. I think I'd rather go to that, or, you know, practice or something, you know, anything to get out of it. And while all those times that I didn't go, I'd say I didn't go for about 10, 12 weeks. And all that time that I didn't go, I just got sicker and sicker again. And I hadn't gotten, you know, all the better that I had gotten just went downhill because I got sick all over. My mother and I still didn't get along at that time, but right now I'm glad to say me and my mom are best friends. I can tell my mom everything. My sister and I, well, we're 3 years apart. She was born on my birthday. Now that was mistake number one right there. My birthday. Who has the right to be born on my birthday? So me and my sister didn't hit it off very well. I mean, who does she think she is coming in here on my birthday? Get stuck at home with Dad and old pink birthday cake and a baby sister. I mean, you know. So me and my sister fought like cats and dogs, and we got to the point when we had to share a room, which I thought was the worst thing in the world, sharing a room with her. All people, I'd rather share a room with my brother. But, I mean, we fight like cats and dogs. We would fight over who laid the pillow on the floor, or over whose pair of socks were in the corner, or over who forgot to put the top on the record player. I mean, you know, anything. And then we moved around the corner and I got my own bedroom. And Carrie didn't like that because she liked to be with Marquita all the time. And she'd come in my room until I got to the point where I'd lock the door and I had the record player because I was the oldest. And she'd scoot her little records under the door asking me to play them. And I'd take and break them in half. So she didn't get very many of her records played. And that just caused problems because, well, then mommy's little girl got mommy mad at daddy's little girl, and daddy took up for daddy's little girl, and mommy took up for mommy's little girl, and then we were all at each other's throats again. And like I say, my dad's in AA. My mom's in Al-Anon. My brother was going to Alateen until he went into the Army. And me and my little sister were in Alateen. And before all the programs came about, we'd get dogs from the pound. You know, we always had to have a pet. And Dad would take his anger out on our dogs. After Dad quit drinking, we went and we bought a miniature Shetland sheepdog. And she's got personality plus. It's been like she's been in Alateen too. So we just call her our Alipup. She didn't get the mistreating that all the rest of the dogs got because Dad, he knew what he was doing with this dog. And when I started going back to Alateen, I learned that my biggest mistake was stop going, but was by my stop going. I realized that by stop going, I just went downhill. Instead of by going, I might pick up something at the meetings, and I might learn something. Learning was hard. Like, there was one time, so my brother always took up for Carrie. There was never one time that he took up for me when me and Carrie got into an argument. Might have been because she was 3 years younger and I was 3 years heavier. But Mark would take up for Carrie, and I hadn't been going to Alateen. Me and Carrie got into a big fight, and she'd go and hide in Mark's room, and I'd come downstairs all mad, ready to hit her. And she'd be hiding in Mark's room, and Mark would be sitting by the door, and I'd walk in the door, and I'd say, "Where is she?" And he'd say, "I don't know, I haven't seen her." And then he'd kick me out of his room, and Carrie was safe for the rest of the day. And so, you know, until she got out, and she came out when Mom got home. That didn't stop things. I wasn't afraid of my mom, why not? But, like, my brother always took up for my sister. And I didn't like my brother. Didn't like him at all. And last year, tomorrow would be a year exactly, he went into the Army. And you never realize how special somebody is to you until they leave. My brother and I are real close now. And I'm so thankful for that. If it hadn't been for the program, I probably would still hate my brother. Me and my sister, she don't have anybody to take up for her now. But she don't have to worry about me because, well, me and Mom are best friends, and me and Carrie are next to the best friends. Like, she's a major at her junior high school. And I was one for my eighth and ninth grade year. And when Carrie made it for majorette, I thought, wow, she's going to try out for majorette. Great. This was just this past year. I thought, wow, she's going to follow in my footsteps. Well, every time I saw her in a majorette uniform, my insides just curdled. Because she had what I wanted. I couldn't be a majorette in 10th grade, and I tried out and I didn't make it. And Carrie still has what I want, but I'll get it someday. And I'm real jealous about her sometimes, and I've got to stop doing that. And I'm trying real hard to quit taking out things on Carrie. It's hard sometimes, because you know how 13-year-olds are. I think they know everything. Agitate. But if I didn't have her to agitate me, I'd go stir crazy. At least I got somebody to fight with when I really want to. Like I said before, I'm Daddy's little girl now, and it's not out of guilt. It's just because me and my dad are close. My dad and I love each other very much, and I feel like, everything bad that's happened between me and my dad has been made up for in the past 3 years. Because, well, he just, it's like, you know, miracles don't happen overnight, but it was just like my dad, his whole personality changed. It just came out. And his personality is a lot like mine, and we hit it off real well. And I never knew that before. It was always just out of a sense of duty. It's not out of a sense of duty anymore. Before, he used to take me places, and the burger chef just happened to be right beside the liquor store, you know, just by chance. And I'd always go with him wherever he went, and he'd park in the burger chef parking lot, and he'd send me in for a hamburger and french fries. And he always made sure it was rush hour, so it'd take me a long time. And then he'd go over to the liquor store and buy him a bottle. And then I'd see it, and he'd say, "I bought you hamburger and french fries. You can't tell on me." I didn't tell him, Daddy. I got lots of hamburgers and french fries. It's like when we used to live in Maryland, it used to be orange sodas. didn't have any hamburger and french fries, though, just orange sodas. But now, Dad doesn't have to bribe me for anything that, you know, he would happen to do, because he can do it, by, you know, stand up for it by himself. He doesn't need me to hide it for him. And I don't have to hide it for him. I don't feel like I have to. I don't feel like I have to hide anything for anybody. I've gotten over my acceptance complex. I've accepted myself for what I am. And, go away. And I don't care if somebody doesn't like me because I'm myself. I would care if I was putting on an act and somebody didn't like me, because that wouldn't be me. And they would have something against me forever because of the act I put on. But I started being myself. Oops. I've started, you know, doing my own thing. I've stopped following the crowd. Following the crowd got me in trouble a few times. I've stopped following the crowd. And now, surprisingly, part of the crowd follows me. I mean, I guess they just like what they see. And we've got a preteen group down home in St. Albans. And the sponsors of the group asked me if I would help with the group. And I thought, oh no, a bunch of little munchkins running around. What am I going to do with them? Tie their hands behind their back and sit them down in a chair. I mean, the first day I was down there, I was, you know, who wants to go here? And I was real down on it and stuff. But I wouldn't leave those kids for anything in the world right now. They are so special and they need so much help. And I am so glad that I can give them part of it. And we've got about, well, at times we've had up to 14 kids. And none of them are over 11 years old. And so, you know, that's quite, we've got from 5 to 11. And so it's quite an age group in there. And most of them are at that age where they're real spastic. You know, they jump from one chair to another all through the whole meeting. And you're sitting there, oh, no, help. But I mean, they're just real sweet. And there's this little girl who's been coming for two or three meetings, and she really touched my heart Thursday night. We take them over to the playground to play, and she's real tiny. She's 9 years old, and she looks like she's about six. She's real tiny. And she came up, and she tugged on my shirt, and she looked up at me, and she goes, Marquita, I think you're nice. She gave me the biggest hug, and that just, my whole insides just swelled. I mean, before, nobody would ever say that. Nobody would ever say, Marquita, I think you're nice. It would always be, Marquita, I think you're a fake. Marquita's learned to be nice. Marquita's learned to be herself. Another big help to me when I first got in the program was the Alateen Hope for Children of Alcoholics book, because they've got those little personal sharings in the back of it. And a lot of them pertain to me, like I was the only one who could handle my dad. And, you know, just titles like that, they just reached out and grabbed me. I thought, well, nobody can handle dad like I can. Because after all, I mean, you know, cry, get what you want. I mean, you know, it's all I have to do. I'm daddy's little girl. And, let's see. I don't know. Right now, all I can say is how thankful I am for the preteen groups. I mean, they're really good. People think that kids 6, 7, 8 years old aren't going to know anything about it. I went through the Alateen books, and I took the steps, and I wrote them down the way they were, and then I wrote simple questions, and then we reworded the steps. And so now all the kids have a set of the 12 steps in a language they all understand, in a way that they can understand it, in a way that it can help them in their lives. It's not as complicated for them. It's, you know, easy. And this, we got one little girl. She's got dark hair, dark skin, dark eyes, and she's a doll. She is the happiest girl in the world, and her mommy are best friends too. And she just always comes in, she gives me a hug the first thing she gets there. She gives me a hug right before she leaves. And it just makes me feel good to know that I can be loved, not only by people my own age, but by children, you know, little kids. And it used to be I've got three cousins that I babysit for. And one of them's 10, one of them's 8, and one of them's almost 2. Well, they used to not like me very well. But now they won't let anybody else babysit for them because Marquita's nice. I've grown up a lot. I mean, people say I don't look 16, but I'm 16 years old. And up until about the beginning of this year, it was more like I was about 10 years old. I, you know, had to have my way. So most of my growing has been since January. And I'm just, I don't know, I'm so thankful for Alateen, but mostly for my preteen group. I go to my Alateen meetings, and we've got new sponsors, and I thought, oh no, new sponsors, what am I going to do now? And because I'd been with the same sponsors for 3 years, I got to know them real well, and I felt that I could tell them anything. I went to the meeting. First meeting I missed because I was at church camp. Good excuse. And then the second meeting we had, I went to, and immediately I fell in love with the sponsors. I mean, it was just like they knew everything. I mean, everything that had gone on before. They were so understanding. And I, with my old sponsors, I could predict what their answers would be. So when I asked a question, I was real careful what I asked. With these sponsors, I can't predict. I mean, it's no telling what they're going to come out with. And so I feel more open with my new sponsors, the new sponsors that I despised so much before I went, before I even tried their meeting. Well, those new sponsors are very special to me. I've only been to 2 meetings. It's only been going for 3 weeks. I've been to 2 out of the 3 meetings. And I feel like right now I wouldn't miss it for the world. Like if I miss that on a Monday night, it's just like missing dinner for a week, you know, not eating for a whole week. It's like I'm going to be starving for and reaching out for something all week long. And the only complaint I have about it is I'm used to Tuesday nights, and every Monday, when I wake up Tuesday morning, I swear up and down it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday every Tuesday now. So I'm always a day ahead of schedule, but I love my meetings, and I love Alateen, and I love my parents, I love my sister, I love my brother, and I love all of you. I'd like to close with another little poem I got out of my book. And this one, well, it starts out like the Serenity Prayer with God grant me, but it's not. It says, God grant me the gift of listening to anguished souls, the gift of sharing one's personal goals, the gift of discerning what's best of two rights, the gift of translating darkness to warmth and light, the gift of caring for one all alone, the gift of providing for outcasts a home, the gift of showing my faith by my life, all gifts that are meant for others' delight. Thank you.
Okay, before I say the closing, I have an announcement. The state committee meeting today is at 3 p.m. in the Walnut Room, second floor of the lodge. If there's anybody here from Bluefield, Princeton, Welch, or Hinton, if you're here, please come to the meeting. Okay. The closing is, in closing, I'd like to say that the options expressed here were strictly those of a person who gave them. Take what you liked and leave the rest. The things you heard were spoken in confidence and should be treated as confidential. Keep them within the walls of these rooms and confines of your mind. A few special words to those of you who haven't been with us long. Whatever your problems, there are those among us who have had them too. If you try to keep an open mind, you'll find help. You will come to realize that there is no situation too difficult to be bettered and no unhappiness too great to be lessened. We aren't perfect, and the welcome we give you may not show the warmth we have in our hearts for you. After a while, you'll discover that though you may not like all of us, you'll love us in a very special way, in the same way we already love you. Talk to each other, reason things out with someone else, but let there be no gossip or criticism of one another. Instead, let the understanding, love, and peace of the program grow in you one day at a time. Will those of you who care to join me in the closing prayer.
Our Father.